is Christian Questions.
Eileen Kennedy Moore once said, "Rigid beliefs make disappointments seem unbearable, whereas realistic beliefs help us to accept disappointment and go on from there." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions, talk radio with a purpose, with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective.
And Rick, that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
Jonathan, the best part is this. We talk and you listen, and then you talk and we listen.
You can also contact us at our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
So on behalf of myself, I'm Rick.
And I'm Jonathan.
We are glad you have chosen to spend some time with us. Jonathan, what is our topic this morning?
Well, Rick, our question is, does God's word ever fail? And our theme text is found in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. "For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it. For it will certainly come. It will not delay."
All right. So it's about the vision and it not delaying. And yet yesterday was May 21st, and that was a much anticipated day for many, and I would guess a day of great disappointment and even bewilderment for those same people. What might they be thinking now? Did God not deliver what his word promised? What are the rest of us thinking? Were those people foolish in their commitment, or were they misled by what appeared to them to be an undeniable scriptural logic and harmony? Harold Camping's prophecy failed utterly. Does this mean that God's word failed along with it? Folks, stay with us this morning as we examine the short-term aftermath of expectations gone bad in light of God's plan. So, Jonathan, we are going to be looking back at yesterday and the non-event of yesterday.
Yes. So what happened?
All right. That's a good place to start. And, folks, if you'd like to make some comments on does God's word ever fail and the experiences of the lead-up to and yesterday, our number is 866-985-4255, toll-free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. We'd love to hear your perspective. And our website is ChristianQuestions.net. So what happened, you ask?
Yeah, what happened?
Well, I don't know where other people live, but yesterday was a bright, sunny day in my area.
Yes, mine too.
There was no worldwide earthquake. There were no tsunamis. There was no rapture of 200 million people, nor did millions die as a result of catastrophe and judgment. Yesterday was just a day like most others, except that those who stake their futures on its marking the beginning of the end of the world, they had some things to think about.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened yesterday. Nothing. And it's an interesting experience to have had the immense amount of publicity for that day.
Yes, and expectation.
Expectation and publicity everywhere. So let's take a look and begin to set a scriptural basis for God's word and what it means and how we should view it in light of things like this. Let's look at begin with Isaiah chapter 57, verses 7 through 11. We'll read a few verses and then pause.
Isaiah 55, "Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts."
We have quoted this scripture many, many times on this program, and we're looking at this scripture, and this gives me great comfort.
It does, Rick.
Because it helps us to understand that God is not like us. He is far above us.
And also, he's very compassionate, and he's merciful to us even when we do make mistakes.
And a lot of mistakes are being made and have been made, and we're going to be looking very hard now at this prophecy from the May 21st scenario and try to get a sense of it. As a matter of fact, let's go back, and I want to play part of a commercial from Family Radio, This is where Mr. Camping, that was his radio station, about the warning for May 21st. We're going to play the first part of the commercial now. We'll play the second part later on.
This is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction.
God's elect know the time when judgment day is coming, but the unbelievers, they don't know the time. God has commanded us to warn them that the sword is coming.
The whole world has to know that judgment day is near. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come.
All right, that's the first part of the commercial.
Yes.
And it's pretty daunting when you hear it.
Very dramatic.
And one of the things that amazes me, and this is a little bit off, but I just have to say it now because it's in my mind, is at the end of that part of the commercial, they quote the scripture, "This gospel of the kingdom must be preached throughout the world, and then the end will come." What does the word gospel mean?
It means good news, Rick.
And so what was the May 21st thing all about?
Bad news.
It just doesn't seem to fit to me, okay? Just want to put that out there to begin this conversation. That's all. Just saying. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. We'd love to hear your perspective on May 21st, the non-event. And does that mean that God's word failed?
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our main question, does God's word ever fail? And our website is christianquestions.net. And check out CQ Rewind.
CQ Rewind is a document that you can get on the website at christianquestions.net, or you can sign up for the full edition, which is much more comprehensive, and it will be a PDF file emailed to you once a week. It is a free service. It's easy to unsubscribe if you don't like it, and it gives you a lot of the transcript and the scriptures from the program. Very important to
plus,
just put it together.
Plus, bonus material, Rick.
There's always bonus material.
Because we don't have time to go over everything.
Yeah, I talk too much. I know. Is that what you're trying to tell me? All right, let's continue with Isaiah 55. Let's pick up with verse 10.
For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it.
So now you build those thoughts on the thoughts of the previous verses of Isaiah, where God says, "My ways are higher than your ways. I will have compassion." And now he says in the prophecy of Isaiah that when my word goes out, it is going to accomplish that which I send it to do.
It really fits with our theme text, doesn't it? It really goes with it perfectly, I think.
So what it's saying is it gives us a sense that God, when he makes a statement, means it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not like a parent. I don't know if you've ever been a wishy-washy parent ever in your life. I know that I have at times. And sometimes you make a firm statement.
Yeah.
And then you really don't back it up so much.
That's right.
And see, God is not like that. And that's one of the things we need to understand. So the key is, okay, you get the fact that God is not like that. So next we need to understand is, what is God really saying? Because if we believe in the firmness of God's word, we have to then understand the content of his word so we get the firmness and we apply it the right way. May 21st, wrong way. Absolutely wrong way. Again, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. We'd love to hear your perspective on, does God's word ever fail?
And our website is christianquestions.net. And check out Facebook, and our conversation continues on our blog.
All available at the website, christianquestions.net. Jonathan, our next verse from Isaiah is a different chapter, but it's in the context of condemning those who make and worship idols. And this is going to have something to do with our whole conversation as we develop, because even if you are a devoted Christian, you can be idolatrous in a lot of ways.
Isaiah 46, 8-10. Remember this and be assured. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things long past. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me. declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying, My purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure.
So that's another verse that really tells us that when God says, I'm going to do what I say, he means it.
Reminds me of one of my favorite hymns, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
That's a scripture, I think, from Lamentations.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does give a sense of, again, for me, discussing this is a great sense of relief. Because obviously our perspective is, does God's word ever fail? No.
That's right.
It never does. What does fail is our understanding of it, our application of it, and our putting it together so it makes sense. Mm-hmm. That's what tends to fail at times. Now, if God says that his word always accomplishes what it was sent for, then what do we conclude about yesterday's non-events?
Well, it was a lie.
That's a possibility. You could have just been an out-and-out lie. What else?
It was a scheme to scam people.
All right. That could be a possibility. Now, am I saying any of these are the truth? No. What we're saying is these are – when you look at something that didn't happen and you see all of the events and the things that led up to it, well, what are the possibilities? It could have been a lie. It could have been a scam.
Was it the result of an overzealous mind fixed on wanting to know something specific?
I think that you were getting close there. You're getting warmer. Warmer.
How about it was a false prophecy?
And I think we're going to need to really focus on that. What does it mean to have a prophet? Are there prophets in the land today? I mean, that might
That's
be
a good question.
I think it's something we need to begin to consider. What makes a prophet? What makes a false prophecy? What should our attitude be towards prophecy and so forth? So, folks, those are some of the things we want to get ourselves involved in this morning. So begin thinking along those lines and certainly participate if you'd like. 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
Well, Rick, we really have to be careful with what we hear and what's proclaimed as prophetic truth.
And we're going to really develop that thought. And you're right, being careful is very important. And yesterday, what were you doing at 6 o'clock yesterday evening? Do you remember?
I was studying for this program. Reading the scriptures, getting ready for today.
Well, Trish and I were getting ready to get in the car and drive down the road, and I jokingly told her, look, I'm going to wait till after 6 to get in the car because I don't want to be driving during an earthquake or anything. But anyway, we were driving, and I had mentioned last week we have a friend of ours who retired, and he had a retirement party, and so that's where we were heading. But again, it was a regular day. And when you look at how regular the day was, there was a small earthquake in New Zealand, incidentally.
There was.
It was a 6.1 earthquake at some point. And you say, aha! But the fact of the matter is New Zealand records 14,000 earthquakes a year.
Wow.
So that was business as usual. And it was small. It was where nobody lived. But it was there. So that's what we have. What we have is May 21st has come and gone. The prophecies, the proclamations have been made. And now we look back on those things and we say, okay, what happens now that you have people getting all focused on something and it absolutely does not happen? Does that mean God's word is not trustworthy?
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. We're talking about, does God's word ever fail? Coming up, what should our reaction be to the non-event of May 21st, 2011?
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, does God's word ever fail? To be a part of our program, call toll-free, 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website is christianquestions.net.
And, Jonathan, at the end of the last segment, you asked the question, what should our reaction be to the non-event of May 21st? And you can have a lot of different reactions.
Mm-hmm.
There are those can look at it and say, ha-ha, didn't happen. There are those that obviously look at it with great disappointment.
Yes.
And perhaps even embarrassment. And there are those who you can have the attitude of, well, I told you so. There's all kinds of ways that we can react.
How about you can be sad for the people that really believed it?
And I think that's what we want to get to, is what ought our reaction to be? Never mind what your knee-jerk reaction is. Mm-hmm. We all have knee-jerk reactions that aren't necessarily the best ones.
You're right.
Me. But what ought our reactions to be? Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. Live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. We're on right now. We'd love to hear your perspective on, does God's word ever fail? Jonathan, the Old Testament gives us principles for knowing what to look for in regards to things like this.
Deuteronomy 18:20-22. But the prophet who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or which he speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die.
Now, that's a pretty strong statement.
That is.
Now, folks, hear me clearly on this. We are not advocating, not even for a nanosecond, that somebody ought to go out and hunt the man down. That is not what we're saying. This, we need to understand, was spoken to the Jewish nation in the context of their own nation.
That's right.
And they were under the letter of the law.
Mm-hmm.
We, at this time, while we look at the Old Testament and when we learn from the principles, Jesus told us himself, especially in Matthew, the fifth chapter, but I say to you, he continually lifted the standards to not being physical standards.
The spirit of the law, not the letter of the law.
Exactly. So no, this is not some coded message saying somebody ought to go hunt the guy down. That is not it. You don't even begin to go there. It's just not appropriate. Let's continue with the Deuteronomy scripture.
You may say in your heart, how will we know the word which the Lord has spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not come about or come true, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him.
So one of the things in Deuteronomy that's given to us as a principle to look at is, all right, if the prophecy doesn't come true, well, obviously
it wasn't from God.
And that goes directly back to what we were talking about in the first segment with that Isaiah 55 scripture. When God says something, it's going to happen.
Yes.
Now, it may not happen the way we expect it to.
There's a good point.
It may not happen in the timing we expect it to.
Yep.
And it may not happen to the people we expect it to. But it's going to happen. And you can look at that and say, well, okay, then you're pretty wishy-washy. No, we're imperfect. That's really what it boils down to in our understanding and our looking to trying to understand the prophecies of the Bible. That's not an easy task.
Yeah, think about God's task of teaching us the truth with our imperfections.
I know, especially you and me, man.
Oh.
What was he thinking?
He's got a tough one to deal with here.
Let's look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 20.
Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits.
Now, these are pretty strong statements by Jesus. He's saying, beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing. So they come to you looking good, but they're looking for something else.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is something we have to be careful of, because when we look at yesterday and all of the events leading up to it, am I going to tell you that this guy was a lamb in sheep's clothing, a wolf in sheep's clothing?
I don't know.
See, I don't think
it's hard to do.
Right.
We can't read the heart, can we?
And when I look in on his thinking and his talking and his teaching, I don't see that desire for something else. I do see something that was sincere. I think it was utterly wrong, but it was certainly sincere. So this is a scripture that helps us to understand, I think, that there are different kinds of false prophets we need to be aware of.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our main subject, does God's word ever fail? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, christianquestions.net.
You can also check us out on Facebook and take a look at our blog. And if you would like not to call but to contact us, you can certainly do so at Rick, R-A-C-K, at christianquestions.net. Stamps.com is partnering with Christian Questions Radio. There's a specific website for Christian Questions listeners to use to order stamps for your home or office. It's 11stamps.com. When you order here, a percentage is donated to our radio ministry. And the great thing is, this is a service that is so easy to use. No longer do you have to put up with slow service or long lines at the post office. Just click and order quick and help out Christian Questions. Tell your friends to help support Christian Questions by going to 11stamps.com. That's the numbers 11stamps.com for all your postage needs. I use it. I like it. Try it out.
So what should our reaction be to the non-event of May 21st, 2011?
That's an important question. And part of me, Jonathan, is upset. I really
okay.
am. Because,
why?
Because I think that a lot of people were misled. And I think a lot of people in great sincerity followed after a teaching that was that I think was not only wrong but damaging as well. For a point on it, let's go back to another soundbite from the family radio station, the program Family Radio Open Forum. This is where Mr. Camping entertains phone calls in. And this was from this past week.
But on the other hand, when we have begun to examine the Bible with the idea that the judgment day is going to begin in one part of the world, and then over 24 hours it will be going around the whole planet Earth until finally after 24 hours the whole world has been destroyed.
So he's answering a question put to him about how this judgment day is going to work, and his answer is the judgment day is on a rolling 24.
And the whole world will be destroyed.
Right, and that was the beginning of the destruction of the world was supposed to happen yesterday. So, and he was actually saying in another place that New Zealand was the place where it was going to begin.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first place you get to 6 p.m., and then you continue to move west. And as the time zones change, 6 o'clock comes up, and the worldwide earthquake was supposed to appear in the next time zone.
I see.
All right. So what's the difference between speaking as a prophet, because we've been talking about prophets and prophecies.
Yes, we have.
And speaking as a student of prophecy. I think these are two very, very important points. What's the difference between speaking as a prophet and speaking as a student of prophecy?
Well, Rick, a prophet claims to be speaking what God has spoken to him.
Okay, so a prophet is essentially repeating.
Yeah.
He's not giving you his opinion. He's supposed to be repeating what God has told him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Next, a student of prophecy repeats understanding and connection based on scripture study.
Right.
So a student of prophecy also is repeating, but not a word directly spoken to him. It is based on studies in the scriptures.
Right.
Okay.
There's a difference.
Okay. A prophet,
now,
then.
A prophet is precise and decisive as they claim a link directly to God.
So in Habakkuk, our theme scripture is from Habakkuk. He was a prophet of God.
Yes.
He had a direct link.
He did.
So he is speaking precisely and decisively because he's got that direct link. Whereas mm-hmm. a student of prophecy points to prophecy and attempts to place it in its proper chronological context.
Attempts.
Keyword
yes.
there. So a student of prophecy points to those things that are already said and tries to understand them.
And a prophet leaves no room, Rick, for doubt.
Right. So
none.
When you have this a prophet, they make the prophecy and that's it. That's done. A student of prophecy sees things through the eyes of their best interpretation. So with
okay.
a student of prophecy, I would say there is room for doubt because we don't really know until we can look back and say, oh, see?
Good point.
So I think that's an important aspect of this whole conversation we're going to need to come back to as we go through our program this morning. Jonathan, let's go to the phones.
All right. Well, we have Wyatt from Connecticut. Good morning, Wyatt, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing well, sir. How are you?
Doing great. I just wanted to call and contribute to say that I think part of the reason why the media really played this up is because I really think that there is kind of an organized thing to discredit religion in a way. And I think that that's part of the reason why you saw that in the media so much, is because I think you know, when it didn't come true, that's the media's way of saying, you know, look, these religious people, they don't know what they're talking about.
Well, I think you might have a pretty good point there, sir.
And I really think it's that basic. And, you know, there's certainly a lot of stuff out there in secular society that is, you know, just as egregious, but, you know, the media doesn't play on to try to discredit. And I think that that's part of, you know, where a lot of it comes from. So I just wanted to say that.
Well, Wyatt, we appreciate your input very much. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Have a good one.
Now, that's an important point.
It is.
Because for whatever reason, Christianity seems to be looked down upon. Now, I don't get that at all. I just don't get, obviously, I'm a Christian, so I don't get it, okay? But I think Wyatt makes an important point in trying to put this in perspective and understand it. The other part of that, though, Jonathan, is what happened with this is Family Radio does have a lot of money. They poured a lot of money into advertising for this.
That's right, millions.
And because of the way this prophecy was expressed, it drew followers in, many followers, who poured their life savings into getting the word out. There were billboards and signs and radio advertisements that were personally funded in many locations by individuals who basically cashed out their life and said, I believe this is going to happen. I believe it's my responsibility to warn the world. And so they put it out there.
So, Rick, a lot of damage was done to individuals.
Well, looking back today, you look back on yesterday, you say, now what do they do? Where are they? And I feel bad. It really, and you could tell this morning when we came in.
Oh, yeah.
I'm bothered by this. I'm bothered because I really believe that these folks that followed after were sincere. They looked at the teaching, and they saw a sense of logic. Now, when I look at it, I don't see a sense of logic. I can see how they got there, but I look at it and say, no. To me, it makes no sense whatsoever. But I can understand how people would see a sense of logic and commit themselves to it. And you can appreciate someone being committed like that. It takes a lot of guts to be committed like that.
You're listening to Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our main question, does God's word ever fail? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And check out CQ Rewind on ChristianQuestions.net.
Jonathan, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. And folks, you really do have to check these things out at the website because it's important. It gives you the scriptures all over again, CQ Rewind does, and it helps you put in perspective why we say what we say.
But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there were also will be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep.
So now you have a New Testament view on the same concept of false prophets.
Yeah.
You have it in the Old Testament, you have it in the New Testament, and bottom line, it's something to be aware of and something to make sure that we look at with very critical eyes to make sure that the things we're listening to come directly from the scriptures and are not put into a wrong perspective, and that's hard to do.
And so, Rick, this is talking about those ministers and teachers that are in other churches then.
Yes. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Well, and we all look at it that way, don't we?
We do, and we have to make sure we look towards ourselves and not point fingers outwardly.
Am I following a false doctrine, a false teaching?
Am I following God's word? And in this, 2 Peter, it's talking about those denying the master who bought them. You know, one of the biggest things that we believe the Bible teaches is the ransom of Jesus and all his sacrifice, what it did for the whole world of mankind. And, I mean, there it is right there.
And the fact that ransom was paid just once.
That's right.
For everyone.
Yeah.
You don't have to repay the ransom. It was done. It's over. It's finished. And that price is good for everyone forever. I think we need to skip the next soundbite because we're just going to run out of time in this segment. It was a soundbite from David Essel, who is kind of a motivational speaker, and he's talking about God's delay is not his denial. And what it basically says is sometimes God delays things, but that doesn't mean that God is saying no inevitably. It's just that God's timing is different than our timing. And one of the things we need to understand is when we look at prophecies, especially end time prophecies, it's awfully difficult to understand what's going to happen and how it's going to happen. We know a lot of the bigger picture, but to place all the little pieces right in place,
it's hard.
In most cases, it might be impossible to do it ahead of time. Mm. Now, once you see it, you say, oh, I recognize
there
that.
There it is.
Yeah. But
it was already done.
But God's delay is not his denial. Folks, we're looking at our reaction to this non-event of May 21st and looking at prophecies and real prophets and false prophets and trying to put all of that into an important, clear perspective.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. We're talking about God's Word, does it ever fail? How do we gain a proper perspective on God's Word, God's will, and God's timing? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, does God's Word ever fail? To be a part of our program, call toll-free, 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now, and our website is christianquestions.net.
And Jonathan, that question you asked, does God's Word ever fail, is being framed in the context of yesterday's non-event of May 21st. So we're looking at it, and we're trying to understand prophecy. What's a real prophet? What's a false prophet? And we're trying to understanding the word and the will of God and the timing of God's word and will. And those things are hard to figure out.
It's hard to keep a proper perspective on those.
Because we don't have the same perspective as God has. We're looking up from within. God is looking down from without. He can see the broad picture. We just simply can't. Let's go back to the phones.
All right. We have Paul from Ohio. Good morning, Paul, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Hello, Rick. Hello, Jonathan.
Good morning.
I am from Columbus, Ohio, and I'm a first-time caller, so I'm nervous, of course.
Nervous.
But I know both of you guys, so that makes it easy to call in. Hey, I wanted to talk about a modern-day prophet. What this prophet, and by the way, you know that the word prophet's found a lot in the Old Testament, like over 300 times. And basically what it means is just someone who has the ability to speak. So you can see why there's lots of false prophets, because a lot of people are able to speak. Can you hear me okay?
Well, we can hear you fine.
Oh, good, because I don't hear anything on the other end. I appreciate this subject, and I just want to perhaps help you segue, because that last caller said, you know, this may be just something to, discredit true believers. And I kind of agree with him, because it was kind of something that took away from, I think, what the big news was this week, and that was the news about Israel.
And we're actually, Paul, we're going to be getting to that in the second hour.
But, right. And I want to just quote one thing from your listeners can find this if they type in the word Russell 1910. Russell, R-U-S-S-E-L-L, 1910. And they're going to come to a speech that this man gave in October of 1910. And this is what he said in this speech. He says, and he's talking to 4,000 Jews in New York City who invited him to come and speak to them as a group. And he says, now I hold that we either stand for God and the Bible, or we stand against it. I stand for the Bible, and the Bible stands for Israel, and therefore I stand for Israel. Now, who does that remind you of this week? To me, it reminds me of Glenn Beck.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
The guy you guys are trying to be like, no, I'm kidding.
Well, come on now.
And then he goes on and he says, the Bible tells of restitution, of divine favor, and therefore I proclaim it. I am glad, therefore, having this opportunity of addressing so many of the Jewish people here and of pointing them to their own scriptures as teaching these things and telling of the good things God has in reservation for them. So this speaker, who was a very famous speaker, said one more thing when he taught. He said, "Don't believe anything I tell you unless you can go to the scriptures and prove it to yourself." And so I think that's the sign of a true prophet in these modern days. So Lord bless you guys. I love you and pray for you every week. We've been listening for several months now, but I think my wife called in once, but I try to get up this early. I think you need to go to Sunday afternoon.
All right, Paul, thanks so much. We appreciate
right, take
it.
Care. Bye,
take
bye.
Care.
Bye-bye. So, Jonathan, what he did is he's put the concept of prophet in perspective. A modern-day prophet, we don't have that same connection to hearing God's voice to us and then writing it down.
And then repeating it.
Right. What we do have is having the written word of God that we study and then we repeat.
If you just tuned in, this is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our main question, does God's word ever fail? To be a part of our program, call toll-free, 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now on our website, christianquestions.net.
All right, Jonathan, let's look at Habakkuk. That was our theme scripture, and we're going to need to sum some things up. And, folks, you want to go to Seek Your Rewind to get the scriptures that we're not going to quote, but we're just going to refer to. You can get it at christianquestions.net. It is a free service. Seek Your Rewind to get the full edition. You sign up for it. Simple to get. Habakkuk is dealing with some very difficult things. And in Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, he is crying for help, and he's basically saying, "God, how come you're not hearing me? What's going on here?" He put himself in a position to listen to God's word.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted an answer, and he was looking for an answer. So I think that's one of the things. You have to make the request. For us to understand Bible prophecy, we have to ask to be able to understand
sincerely
it.
And constantly.
Right. So that's an important factor. Now, in Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, let's read a few of those verses.
"Look at the nations and see. Be astonished. Be astounded. For a work is being done in your days that you would not believe if you were told. For I am rousing the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own."
Now, those are the words of God in answer to Habakkuk's question. Where have you been? How come I don't hear you? And God's answer is, look at the nations and see. Be astonished. Be astounded. There is a great work being done in your day. But the problem with that great work was, let's continue with verse 10.
"At kings they scoff, and of rulers they make sport. They laugh at every fortress and heap up earth to take it. Then they sweep by like the wind. They transgress and become guilty. Their own might is their God."
So this great work that God was talking about was not a happy work.
No.
It was a destructive work, and it was a prophecy of the great time of trouble. So what you see is Habakkuk is looking for an answer, but he's not getting quite the kind of answer he really wants to get, because it's not a happy message for that moment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For that moment. You see, God's endings are always happy. If it's not a happy ending, then it's not the ending, and it's not God's.
As we're reminded, the word gospel means good news.
So we see Habakkuk requesting. He's asking the question in great sincerity, with the attitude of looking to get God's answer, not looking to put his own answer in place.
Right.
And he hears this answer. And folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. We'd love to hear your perspective on, does God's word ever fail?
And our website, christianquestions.net.
And if you don't want to call but you'd like to contact us, it's Rick, R-I-C-K, at christianquestions.net. Habakkuk answers God back, because the answer he got wasn't, it's like, wait, that's not what I was expecting. So what does Habakkuk say?
"Are you not from of old, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have marked them for judgment, and you, O Rock, have established them for punishment."
Okay, so what he's saying is, he's basically saying, I understand that all evil, you are going to judge all evil. He already knew that. But he's saying, so I ask you this question, where are you during all this evil? And you say, wait, you haven't seen nothing yet. You should see the evil that's coming. So he's saying, but aren't you the God that is going to judge? I mean, not aren't you, but you are the God that's going to judge all of these things.
Continuing, your eyes are too pure to behold evil, and you cannot look on wrongdoing. Why do you look at the treacherous and are silent when the wicked swallow those more righteous than they?
So Habakkuk is asking a very important question that's very pertinent.
It's a question we all ask, Rick.
Right. Aren't you the great creator of all? God, aren't you bigger than evil?
Why are you allowing this? Why do bad things happen to good people?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So he's looking and he's just in the depth of his own heart is seeking understanding from God. And the good news is God is going to give him a great answer. And sometimes we look to grasp understanding and we fall into only seeing the immediate turmoil and not the grander vision. And I think that's something that we need to be very, very clear on, is that the immediate turmoil is never the answer. It's never the end result. It is a part of a process.
But it's the hard part.
And it's hard because it's turmoil. Nobody – who likes turmoil? Raise their hand.
I don't see any.
Yeah. All right. So we need to see that there's something greater, something bigger. It's kind of like driving through a car through a thick fog. All right. Have you ever driven through really, really
– Yeah. You have to crawl.
You do. You can have the best, the fastest – the shiniest, the most powerful vehicle on the road, but if you're driving through a thick fog, you can't go fast. You can't show your car off. You're no different than the guy in the little, it's like my old car used to be, that 330,000-mile Toyota,
yeah.
I used to drive. It's the same thing. You're going to drive as fast as me because the fog keeps us from being able to move, and sometimes the world in which we live creates that fog, and we have to go slowly, mm-hmm. looking for the word and will of God. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll-free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. We'd love to hear your perspective. Does God's word ever fail?
And our website is christianquestions.net, and this is the program to check out CQ Rewind, the full edition. Sign up. It's a free service, and you'll see everything before you. It'll just open up what we're trying to share.
Let's go back to another soundbite from FamilyRadio.com. And Jonathan, this is one of the things that really frosted my cake.
Okay? Uh-oh.
It really did.
Here we go.
Just listen to this introduction to one of their programs.
On this segment, you will hear the reading of the tract entitled, quote, God Gives Another Infallible Proof That Assures the Rapture Will Occur on May 21, 2011, unquote. You are welcome to write or call and obtain a copy for your own study. Again, this tract is entitled, quote, God Gives Another Infallible Proof That Assures the Rapture Will Occur on May 21, 2011.
All right. Here's what frosts my cake.
But it was said so nicely.
It was said so nicely. And look, I believe that the guy saying it was sincere in what he was reading. But he calls what he was reading an infallible proof of the rapture on May 21st, 2011. Incidentally, that was yesterday. All right, just
okay.
To make sure we understand. He calls it an infallible proof. When something is infallible, that means it is impossible for it to be wrong. And when you look at a statement like that, and we've just discussed the darkness and difficulty of prophecy, you got to ask yourself, who puts themselves in a position of making infallible statements like that?
That's pretty bold.
It's it comes across as foolish. We'll develop that more in the second hour, but that word really got to me. Jonathan, Romans 12:3 as we wrap up this segment.
For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith.
The phrase in there that catches my eye is that we ought not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to.
So we could be wrong.
Uh-oh. Shh, don't tell my wife, okay? that's really what it boils down to. We could be wrong, and we all need to be able to look at what we believe in. Just like the caller, Paul, said earlier, he said the message I think that he was giving is, don't believe what I say. Go back to the scriptures and prove it scripturally for yourself. Prove it through scriptures by understanding them in the context in which they belong. And folks, that's what we attempt to do here every Sunday morning with you, is go through scriptures. We attempt to put them in context. Now, are we asking you to believe everything we say? Absolutely not. But we are asking you to consider it from the basis of, we need to understand the Word of God. We are talking about the failure of a dramatic prophecy yesterday. What do we do with it? How do we react to it? What should our attitude be going forward? Does this put a tarnishing effect on the Word of God? Or do we look at it in a different way? What about those people who are following after in faith? What about them? In the second hour, we're going to develop more of these things, and we're going to touch on some of the current events having to do with Israel as well. For Jonathan and Rick, it is Christian Questions. We're talking about the question, does God's Word ever fail? We'll be back after the news and all of that. But until then, God's Word, our world. Think about it.
This is Christian Questions.
Eliza Tabor once said, "Disappointment to a noble soul is what cold water is to burning metal. It strengthens, tempers, intensifies, but never destroys it." Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. And Jonathan, what is it we are discussing on this fine Sunday morning?
Well, Rick, our question is, does God's Word ever fail? And our theme text is found in Habakkuk?
I say Habakkuk. I don't know.
Okay, all right. And it's found in chapter 2, verse 3. "For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay."
So it's talking about the vision, God's vision given to Habakkuk, and he's giving a great assurance. And in the first hour, Jonathan, we are framing our discussion this morning based on the fact that May 21st was a regular day in the history of mankind.
It was indeed.
There was nothing spectacular. There was no great end of the world. There was none of those kinds of things happening. What we did have was a sense of the reality that life just goes on. It was that simple. Life just goes on. So we were talking about prophets and prophecies in the first hour. And one of the big things that we talked about that I think is important to repeat at this point is, what's the difference between speaking as a prophet versus speaking as a student of prophecy?
And Rick, a prophet claims to be speaking what God has spoken to him.
All right. So he's got that direct connection to God, whereas a student of prophecy repeats understanding and connection based on scripture study. So it's not hearing the Word of God in your head. It's seeing the Word of God on paper and trying to understand it.
And a prophet is precise and decisive as they claim a link directly to God.
And when we talk about a prophet like that, we're talking about the model of prophet in the Bible.
Right, the Old Testament, especially.
And the New Testament. Jesus was a prophet. There were prophecies that were directly linked from God. Now, a student of prophecy points to prophecy and attempts to place it in its proper chronological context. Prophecies unfold at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
Students of prophecy, like we try to be, try to figure out, well, hey, when's that going to happen? The key point is we try to figure it out.
How about this? A prophet leaves no room for doubt.
All right. No room for doubt. That's it. It's said. It's done. It's going to happen.
It's written in stone.
Right. And then a student of prophecy sees things through the eyes of their best interpretation. There's a big difference, Jonathan, between being a prophet and a student of prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the things we talked about in the first hour. We wanted to look at gaining a proper perspective on God's Word, His will, and His timing. And we looked at Habakkuk as asking God for an answer. And then what does he do from there? He asks in great sincerity, God answers, and then he asks again, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. So you can see the zeal on his part.
And sincerity.
Yes, absolute sincerity. So that's a little bit about what we talked about in the first hour. We do want to welcome in our listeners from WNOX 100.3 FM in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're glad you've joined us for this hour. Our subject is, does God's word ever fail? And Jonathan, what are some things our listeners need to know?
Well, if you have more to say after the program, you can write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut 06320, and you can contact us on the web at christianquestions.net. Now, there are many archive programs you can listen to, and if you have any questions or comments, that's the best way to get in touch. Again, that's christianquestions.net. And at our website, CQ Rewind. Have you heard a program recently that you really liked, or for that matter, you didn't like? Would you like to actually see the scriptures and the reasonings that link those scriptures together? Well, now you can. It's called CQ Rewind. Now, CQ Rewind has two parts. The first is the summary version, and that includes excerpts from the program, transcripts, and scriptural citations. Now, that's available on our website as a free download. Now, the second is the full edition. Now, that's available by email sign-up only, and that includes comprehensive excerpts from the program, transcripts, and fully quoted scriptures, all presented in a reader-friendly format, full of graphics and illustrations, also available free of charge. Just sign up. Check them both out at christianquestions.net, CQ Rewind. You heard the program, now see it as well.
Thanks for all of that. And one more thing, while we're talking about things, you can certainly contact us on the website at Rick, R-A-C-K, at christianquestions.net. If you have any thoughts, comments, we'd love to hear from you there. Jonathan, we're looking at Habakkuk, and we are seeing that he made a request. The next point we're going to look at, we're going to go to the phones first, but the next point that we're going to look at from Habakkuk is that he repositioned himself to receive God's answer. So he's asking, and now he's waiting. He's looking. He's seeking out the answer. And I think that's important for us as we try to understand God's word and the fact that it does not fail.
Okay, let's go to the phones, and we have Randall from Connecticut. Good morning, Randall, and welcome to Christian Questions.
And good morning. Happy Sunday, guys.
To you too, sir.
And speaking of stone, we are calling in from, my buddy and I just climbed up Lantern Hill. We're overlooking five states and the Atlantic Ocean.
Wow.
Wow. This is truly breathtaking.
I can imagine.
And we have 1 Corinthians 14:3. One who prophesies does speak to human beings for their building up, encouragement, and solace. God's word cannot fail. Our only failure is seeing God's word as only done to us, not in us. Only in the future, not in our present. 2 Peter 3:11-12. What sort of persons ought you to be, conducting yourselves in holiness and devotion, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God? We are called to manifest God's word in love and community. We are not just to listen to prophecy, but to live lives in Christ that are prophecy. John 14:20. On that day you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you.
Randall, thanks so much. We appreciate it. And enjoy your morning in that breathtaking environment that you are in.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Take care.
Love the statement he made. Our failure can come when we see God's word as being done to us rather than in us.
Wow.
And I think that helps to put it in perspective. You know, this great day of judgment prophecy of May 21st was God's word being done to you. But it didn't account for God's word being able to be in not only us, but everyone, as the prophecies also state. Let's go back to the phones, one more call, and then we'll get back to Habakkuk.
All right. We have Julius from Connecticut. Good morning, Julius, and welcome to the program.
Gentlemen, good morning. And we expected to be here, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
And does God's word ever fail? Absolutely not. Rick, you mentioned earlier, you fellows talked about earlier about infallibility. That's one time you can say God's word is infallible. That is, it never fails. Okay, so point number one, we do not gloat. You know, nothing to celebrate here about some folks making this prediction and, you know, failing to come to pass, to err. Is human, number one. Number two, I like somebody, I think, was one of your sound bites, or somebody was saying, this is time to encourage these people.
Right.
And indeed, to encourage them to study God's Word more diligently. And number three, you're probably going to talk about this. I think you said you were going to. In Matthew 24, where the master said, you know, they wanted to know the signs of the times, you know, the end of the world, et cetera, et cetera. He gave signs. The master Jesus gave signs. That's what to look for. And the key is Israel. Watch Israel if you want to know what is going on and how soon, et cetera, et cetera. Thanks for your program. Beautiful lessons on the prophecy. God bless.
Thanks, Julius.
Appreciate it very much.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Okay. We are looking at the context of Habakkuk, and in the context of the last couple of calls from Randall and from Julius, really they're helping us to set our minds right. And what Julius said, no gloating, rather encourage. And put things in perspective. Okay, it didn't happen. Now what do you do? Habakkuk reset his position. Let's look at Habakkuk 2, verse 1.
On my charge I stand, and I am stationed myself on a bulwark, and I watch to see what he doth speak against me, and what I do reply to my reproof.
Okay, actually, Fred, you know what? Go back to 5 on that one. What we're looking at is the resetting of Habakkuk's focus so that he can receive the word of God. I want to quick play the last part of the commercial. I promised we'd play it this segment from the first hour, the last part of the commercial from FamilyRadio.com about the coming day of judgment. So, Fred, that's number 5 there.
We have to talk about this. This is not an option. We have to say it again and again and again. May 21, 2011 is the day of judgment.
All right. He made a very plain and straightforward statement. And the thing that, as I said in the first hour, I'm going to use the same language, the thing that frosted my cake about all of that is he talked about having infallible proofs. And I want to touch on one of these infallible proofs, folks, because especially now you can look back and say, whoa, that one didn't go so well. This infallible proof was a mathematical concept that Mr. Campion had come up with. He asserted that there were exactly 722,500 days from the crucifixion of Jesus to May 21st, 2011. He uses a mathematical equation to equal this number as the second, quote, infallible proof of his prediction of the rapture and of Judgment Day. So he uses a mathematical equation. I just want you to hear a part of this because this needs to be put in context as a false prophecy. It's not just someone that's zealous about something. He says this is an infallible proof. Listen to how he frames this.
On May 21, 2011, the date of the rapture, each and every saved person goes to heaven because his salvation is altogether completed. The number 17 fits perfectly because this has spiritual meaning. It signifies heaven. The doubling of the numbers 5 times 10 times 17, like the doubling of the phrase a day is a thousand years, assures us that the truth of these proofs is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Isn't it amazing that God uses this doubling principle to further guarantee that the date, May 21, 2011, is absolutely certain?
Absolutely certain?
Infallible proof. And again, basically he says that the number 5, and I cut it in the middle there, the number 5 signifies atonement and redemption. You get that from the scriptures, and I can see that. Number 10 from the scriptures signifies completeness. I understand that. That's a scriptural concept. He says the number 17 signifies heaven, and I get that as well. But then he says what you do is you multiply 5 times 10 times 17, and that comes out to 850. And then you multiply that times 5 times 10 times 17, and you get 722,500. And he's using that, the number of days from what he says Jesus' crucifixion to May 21st, 2011.
As proof.
Not proof. As infallible proof. As unquestionable, undeniable proof that the rapture and the beginning of Judgment Day was going to happen yesterday. Folks, listen. The scriptures are full of numbers, and they're full of prophecies. But it is not for us to decide that, well, if I multiply this times that because this seems to mean this and that, that we come up with some kind of infallible thinking. It's fallible. It's us. This is not – God didn't say multiply these numbers. He gave us those numbers. But what we do with them, that's our choice. That's our decision.
But unlike Habakkuk, which was full of questions and had full faith, he also had humility as well.
Habakkuk really did put things in a perspective. I need to know. I'm going to reset my position so I can watch for your answer. Let's look at Matthew 24, verses 23 and 24.
Then if anyone says to you, "Behold, here is the Christ," or "There he is," do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect.
What a contrast between the attitude of Habakkuk that you just mentioned with that humility and the no longer, quote, infallible, unquote, reasoning of May 21st. Folks, let's make sure that we view Bible prophecy in clear, understandable perspective.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject, does God's Word ever fail? After the break, what about Israel? Has God's Word found or failed them?
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, does God's Word ever fail? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website is christianquestions.net.
And Jonathan, as we go through this discussion, looking back on May 21st, and here we are May 22nd, and everybody is situation normal, we're looking at a number of things involving prophecy. And so far we've learned from Habakkuk two steps to look into God's plans and prophecies. Request, you've got to ask, and then you got to reset yourself so that you can listen and hear. Now for us, it's not hearing words of God in our head so much as it's reading the words of God written in the scriptures and understanding them. The third step from the prophet's experience is to receive, to listen, and to wait for God's overruling. We also talked about being students of prophecy. It's impossible to look at the Bible prophecies without looking long and hard at Israel. And it's because Israel is the focus of a myriad of prophecies.
It really is.
It is mentioned all over the place. Yet there's many different perspectives on the role that Israel will or will not play in the outworking of God's plan.
That's true.
On the line with us now is an old friend of ours who has been a guest on our program several times and our Israel correspondent, I guess you'd call him, David Stein. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Rick. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good morning.
How are you this fine Sunday morning?
I'm doing better than I deserve, you know, and so many of these folks out there that were looking forward to Jesus coming yesterday, you know, you can't blame them for the faith that they had, but I guess we need to console them. We could say, don't take it so bad. It's not the end of the world.
That's for sure. It's not the end of the world. We know that because we're here. All right. David, there's a couple of things with Israel I think that are important. I want to play a couple of sound bites from a couple of different speeches that our president gave. One, the first sound bite is from a speech he gave on June 4th, 2008 to the American Israel Public Affairs Committee. Just listen to this. We'll play a part of a speech he gave a couple of days ago that we want to get your comments.
Now, let me be clear. Israel's security is sacrosanct. It is non-negotiable. The Palestinians need a state. The Palestinians need a state that is contiguous and cohesive, and that allows them to prosper. But any agreement with the Palestinian people must preserve Israel's identity as a Jewish state with secure, recognized, defensible borders. And Jerusalem will remain the capital of Israel, and it must remain undivided.
Okay, that's the first soundbite. That was back in 2008, and the key phrases there, I think, were secure, defensible, recognizable borders. So, David, before your comments, let's go to the speech he made on May 19th, 2011, regarding Israel's borders.
The United States believes that negotiations should result in two states with permanent Palestinian borders with Israel, Jordan, and Egypt, and permanent Israeli borders with Palestine. We believe the borders of Israel and Palestine should be based on the 1967 lines with mutually agreed swaps, so that secure and recognized borders are established for both states. The Palestinian people must have the right to govern themselves,
and reach their full potential in a sovereign and contiguous state.
David, it seems to me that there's a little bit of a change of focus there from the president's comments. What is your take on how this affects Israel? Does this play into prophecy at all? Give us your thoughts.
Well, I think certainly it does play into prophecy, and it's kind of a shame that President Obama has changed his political stance on that. Those two cuts that you played show it very well, that this is a change, and we're left to guess what political forces were involved in him making that change. You know, one of the national responses that I've seen from our country is that Obama's way out of line, and of course, President Obama has his detractors, and I think it's important for us as Christians to be very careful that we don't become too political in our view of these things. Clearly, we have to take the scriptural view, and as the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, that we're to make prayers for all men, including, he says, there for kings and those that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life. So I pray for President Obama, but this is a case where he's clearly out of line, and I'm afraid that he's going to find himself in opposition to what God's plan is for Israel as well.
So when you say that, what does that mean?
Well, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 18, this goes way back to the time of Abraham. In fact, before his name was changed to Abraham, when he was still Abram, the Lord gave Abram land. He says, "Unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt, unto the great river, the river Euphrates." Now, think about that for a minute. The land that was promised the seed of Abraham, which is God's chosen people, which is Israel of today, goes from almost from the Nile River to the Euphrates. That's a whole lot more land than they have today. So for a national leader, or an international leader even, to say that, well, we need to take this land and give it back to those who are sworn enemies of Israel, is clearly taking a position contrary to what God plans for those folks.
So as you look at this, and we wrap this portion up, you're seeing that when someone takes a track that's contrary, well, what happens?
Well, in Zechariah chapter 2, and I know you don't want to take a whole lot of time, I recommend that your listening audience read all of this chapter, but there's a couple things in here that I think are very sobering. In verse 8, Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8, we read, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after glory hath he sent me unto the nations which plundered you." And he's talking about Israel here. "For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake my hand over them, and they shall be a spoil to those who that serve them. And ye shall know that Jehovah of hosts hath sent me." So this is really a warning to leave God's chosen ones alone, and if you touch them, and if you find yourself in opposition to God respecting them, then there are consequences of it. In fact, in verse 13 of that same chapter, it says, "Be silent, all flesh, before Jehovah, for he has waked up out of his holy habitation." We think that President Obama should be silent before God's plan for Israel. And again, those that resist the developing plan do so at their own risk.
Okay, now let me ask you one other question quickly. Are you a prophet?
No, I'm a student. It would be wonderful to have a direct line to God, but no, I have no such hope. As you mentioned earlier in the program, what we're trying to do is read the scriptures and understand what the prophecies say. We might be right, we might be wrong, but we must diligently and sincerely try to establish what the truth of these things are. And it's wonderful when you find those things that turn out to be true. And in past programs on Christian Questions, we've talked about prophecies regarding the return of Israel to their land, and even talked about some of the timing. All those things came out to be true, so we know that we're on the right track.
All right, David, we truly appreciate your giving us an Israel update here and giving us a scriptural perspective, not only on Israel, but on where we stand sitting in our nation looking at this, and as well as a prophetic look at, well, there are consequences when you step outside of God's design. So thanks so much for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Rick. It's a great privilege.
Take care, David.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so that was David Stein. He has been a frequent guest on Christian Questions. You can actually go to the website, christianquestions.net, And especially earlier this year, 2011, he was with us a couple of times talking about Israel and prophecy in great, great detail. And I would really encourage you to go to the archives, find those programs. If you don't subscribe to Christian Questions, CQ Rewind, subscribe to the full edition. It's a free service, and you can get the notes on all of those things. And then you take the notes from those things and put them together with what we're talking about now, and it's going to make a whole lot more sense to you that there's a big, big picture here.
Does God's Word ever fail? If you have a thought, give us a call at 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now on our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
Folks, give Dish Network a try. You save a ton of money every month and help your Christian Questions radio program grow. Plans start at just over $20 a month with a wide variety of channels, and you're fully digital. They have the most high-definition options at the best prices. Dish Network also allows you to add specialty channels without buying huge packages. There is no equipment to buy. You can start saving today with Dish Network. Help support Christian Questions by calling the Christian Question Dish Network number the number is 800-249-8229. That's 800-249-8229. Dish Network, give it a try. Jonathan, we're looking at prophecies and God's Word and looking at the failure of May 21st and putting it in perspective. How do we move on from here? Now, look, we didn't believe that May 21st was going to be the end of the world.
No, we didn't.
But there were many who did.
Yes.
How do they move on from here? And what we're doing is trying to reset. Say, okay, go back to the way Habakkuk dealt with, and he was a prophet.
Yes.
Okay? He was a true prophet of God. Mr. Camping, not so much. Mr. Camping said he had infallible proofs of his reckonings and his mathematical calculations, which obviously proved wrong. He was not a true prophet of God. There's no question about that. So for those of us who may have found ourselves following after the wrong thing, we need to reset ourselves into the right perspective, just like Habakkuk did.
Yeah, let's look at the right template to use.
Okay, let's go back to Habakkuk then. That's one of the minor prophets in the end of the Old Testament. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 2 to 4.
Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks to the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith.
There's so much in those few verses, Habakkuk 2, verses 2 to 4. And folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. We'd love to get your perspective on, does God's Word ever fail? Let's go back through that scripture, Jonathan, and list out, because there are six important points to be able to see the success of God's Word. See, God's Word is a success that just has not completed itself yet.
You're right.
It's a success that is in the process of unfolding. And oftentimes, when you're in the process of unfolding, it doesn't look good because you're still in the process. What are the six points?
Well, Rick, the first is write the vision.
So Habakkuk, being a prophet of God, was told, write this, dictate. I'm dictating, you write. Okay, he's told, write it down.
Make it plain on tablets.
So in other words, you make it public information. You make it so others can see it.
So that a runner may read it, make it available.
And it's interesting that those who run can read it, meaning that those who are involved in trying to carry out God's word, and it kind of gives a sense of urgency, those who are running, that you want them to be able to read it. It's almost like a big street sign that they can say, okay, I'm on the right track.
For there still is a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie.
So even though, if you remember in the first hour, Habakkuk was very frustrated.
He was.
And he said, oh God, you're the God that judges all evil. Why are you letting this mess happen?
Evil was reigning over the good.
And it seemed to be getting worse. And God said, wait, there's going to be a great work. It's going to get worse. That's what he said. So, but the point is, there's still a vision. It's still in the future. It's still coming.
If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay.
So that's kind of an interesting phraseology.
It is. It is.
It's almost like self-contradictory.
Almost.
It says, it seems to tarry. Well, but wait for it. It's going to come. It will not delay.
But it's going to tarry.
Right. It's going to take its blessed time, But it's not. It's going to be exactly on time. And the point here is that what we think is on time is not what God thinks
is
on
time.
That's
right. His time frame is much different than ours.
That's right. And it's always longer than we think.
Yeah.
Always.
Also another point, the righteous live by their faith. Therefore, never, never, never give up.
So, and that's the end statement there to Habakkuk in this particular section. The righteous live by their faith. Don't ever give up. There is something to look forward to. God's plans are unfolding. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. We'd love to get your perspective on, does God's word ever fail? Where does Israel fit in with all of this? We had David Stein on in the first part of the segment giving us an Israel update, if you will. Trouble brewing out there in the Middle East.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net. Check out Facebook, and our conversation will continue, as always, on our blog.
And all of those are available at ChristianQuestions.net. And if you'd like to comment but don't want to talk on the phone, I can understand that. Not that I ever have a problem with that. You can certainly contact us at Rick, R-I-C-K, at ChristianQuestions.net. So, Jonathan, if we've requested in humility and reset ourselves, in other words, changed our position to look
in faith.
In faith, now we can receive in confidence.
Yes.
See, Habakkuk is giving us a process to properly get the thinking of God's prophecies. Let's quickly, Proverbs 3:26.
For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught.
So Habakkuk, when he received the message from God, was standing up on the bulwark, you know, up on the wall. He was positioned. He was looking. He expected to see the vision, and he was to get that vision and to write it down. Now, note that there was no adding to prophecy, just a receiving and a relaying process. That's what Habakkuk did. He didn't add. He didn't say, and then multiply it by five. He said, this is what God has put to me to give to you. He wrote it plain on tables so we can read the words of God, nobody else's, the words of God, and understand the prophecies that way.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject, does God's word ever fail? In our last segment, are there other examples in God's word of delaying results? But I want it now. No, tell me now. I can't wait.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, does God's word ever fail? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And Jonathan, we are looking at the May 21st non-event and asking a lot of questions and attempting to put it into a perspective of proper understanding of Bible prophecy and realizing that we are not prophets.
We are students of prophecy,
but we are not prophets. And unfortunately, Mr. Camping put himself in a position of being a prophet. And as a matter of fact, he went to great lengths with his prophecy, talking about infallible proofs. And one more soundbite that we want to go to from Family Radio Open Forum. This is a talk show that he had done on Family Radio where he took questions from the public. This was this past week. This was May 16th. And he talks about, what about those who don't believe in his May 21st date? What happens to them? And we're talking about Christians as well as non-Christians.
Israel becoming a nation again has been used by prophecy writers as incontrovertible proof that we are living in the last days leading up to the rapture of the church. How accurate have these claims been?
American Vision presents.
The Lord, who is orderly, says they are first
Fred,
going to come back.
That's the wrong soundbite. I've got the wrong number on the soundbite. So that's my fault. Go to number 10. Sorry about that, folks. Hopefully this will be it. We'll see.
Did God fulfill the Old Testament?
Nope. Okay. Six. Let's see. Open forum. That's it. Okay. Now we're going to get it right. I promise. My fault, folks. Sorry.
The question has been raised. Am I saved? If am I not saved? If I do not believe that the rapture will take place on May 21. And the Bible has some very scary language about that, where it indicates that those who who believe that Christ is coming as a thief in the night. That is, we cannot know, and yet they're convinced that they are saved. They are headed for sudden destruction. We read that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So the Bible gives us a very scary answer to that question.
Okay, so that's disturbing.
That is.
Because he's looking at 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 to 4, and we won't read the whole thing, but just start with verse 3, Jonathan, just because we're getting close on time here.
While they're saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape.
So he's saying that while they are saying, and he's saying they means everybody who doesn't believe in that date. So not only did he put things in a perspective of that being the final judgment, if you will, but every Christian who did not believe in that reasoning of his was condemned
That's bold.
It is. It is bold. And obviously, we're looking at here we are May 22nd, looking back, saying not so much. So, folks, and this is a warning, I think, to all of us. Let us be sure that as we approach prophecy, we approach it as students and not authorities.
And, Rick, this is a good program to go to CQ Rewind for the bonus material. Habakkuk teaches us much more on dealing with prophecies than we have time to go over. So it's definitely something to look into. Again, ChristianQuestions.net, CQ Rewind, the full edition.
And there are two more points from Habakkuk that we can't even mention, but they're on the Rewind. ChristianQuestions.net, check it out. Jonathan, let's go back to the phones.
All right, we have Sue from Connecticut. Good morning, Sue, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Yes, hi. Whenever I have a wonder about, you know, these people like yesterday saying that the world's going to come to an end, I would suggest anybody as a student, well, I have a King James Bible, go to Mark chapter 13, read what Jesus said, because this is when his disciples asked him, tell us when these things will be. And if you go over to verse 23, take heed, behold, I have foretold you all these things. In those days, after the tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, the moon will not give her light, and the stars of heaven will fall, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. But Jesus says in 26, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of great power and glory. And we have so much to go through before this happens, in my opinion. But I would refer to Mark 13, the whole chapter, in Jesus' words. That's where I would go.
I think that's a good place, Sue. I tend to agree with you. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Take care.
And sometimes you can look at it and say, well, it's that simple. And when you put things out there and you realize there is a lot more to go through, and I, Sue, we agree with you. There is an awful lot more to go through here before there is an end times. And also, again, and we've talked about these scriptures. Again, you can find them at CQ Rewind at ChristianQuestions.net. God promised that the world would not be destroyed. He promised. And we talked about that earlier. When he makes a promise,
he keeps it.
It's solid. It's done. It's there. Jonathan, let's take a few minutes here and go through some of God's apparent delays in the scriptures, because there's a million, well, maybe not a million, okay, but there's a lot of them.
That's better.
Okay, there's a lot of them, and I think it's important for us to understand. And folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now, and that also means we're nearing the end of the program. So if you want to get on, you want to call sooner rather than later.
Now's the time.
Okay.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
Genesis 12, 1-3.
Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to a land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed.
So Abram, this is Abram now. He is 75 years old at this time. And God says, I'm going to make of you a great nation. Great. I have no kids.
How's that going to happen?
Yeah, right. What do I do now? Okay. I have no kids. So, and he says that I'm going to, and out of you, all the families of the earth will be blessed out of this great nation. So there's this great promise. 75 years old. Now let's drop in on Abram's life 25 years later in Genesis 17:17.
Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?"
So after 25 years of being given a promise that did not get fulfilled, he's visited by an angel who says, "You're going to have that promised child." And what does he do?
He laughs.
He laughs because it seems inconceivable that that could possibly happen. Sometimes faith can waver. But see, God, you mentioned that scripture, God is faithful.
Yes.
Let's look at Genesis 21:15.
Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him.
So the promise given, 25 years goes by, and the promise is fulfilled.
And an answer to prayer.
And so that's part of the way God operates. When God gives a promise, it doesn't necessarily have to come true the next moment, the next day, the next hour, the next month, the next year. It takes time. It's in God's time. I think that's a great example of that. Let's look now at another example that's actually built on that. And that is in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8.
So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, "Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel?"
Now, a couple of important things here. This is a pointed question which shows an expectation of God's rule being restored to the physical nation of Israel.
That's right.
So they're saying, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? This is just before Jesus ascends. All right, so this is his last physical visit here,
mm-hmm.
his last conversations, if you will, with his followers. So, and they're expecting Israel to have God's kingdom in their hands. What does Jesus answer?
He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come unto you, and you shall be my witnesses."
So Jesus doesn't give a yes or no answer, but he doesn't say to them, "Oh, no, your expectation's all wrong."
No, he didn't.
He just simply says about their expectation, "You don't know the times and the seasons." So he's saying, he's confirming their expectation.
Yes, he is.
That the kingdom would be restored to Israel.
On this earth.
Because that's what they were asking, and he confirms it. He says, it's not for you to know when. So he's basically saying, yeah, it's going to happen, but it's not for you to know when. Here's what's for you to know. You are to know that you are going to be begotten by God's power and influence, the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be my witnesses throughout the earth.
That's right.
So rather than thinking about when the kingdom is going to be restored to Israel, you've got work to do.
Here's your focus.
That's right. Go to work. Go do the things that are most important and let God take care of the times and the seasons himself. But I think that's a great answer. And of course, that was spoken 2,000 years ago. Now, has God's kingdom been restored to Israel yet?
No.
That's 2,000 years of what happened. Where is it? How could you possibly be so sure? And the reason we could be so sure is it's a scriptural promise. But am I going to tell you the date? Not on your life. Not on your life. What we are going to tell you is that God gives us the prophecies for us to focus on, to give us hope in the future. And sometimes, folks, the present is hard to deal with because it's hard.
And there's turmoil all around us.
And the world is certainly, overall, a lot of unpleasantness going on.
Yes.
So let's look at our final prophecy to look at is Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, because it talks about in the last days. And one of the interesting things about Mr. Camping was in the last days, all he talked about was, okay, you got the rapture, you get the good people out of the way, and then death, doom, and destruction follows for everybody else. Listen to this, because this doesn't sound like that.
And it will come about in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains.
Okay, now mountains in Scripture often are pictures of governments. So it's a chief government, the mountain of God.
It will be raised above the hills, and the peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, "Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us about his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For from Zion will go forth the law, even the word of the Lord from Jerusalem."
All right, so the context here is talking about this mountain, this great mountain in the midst of all of the other mountains, being God's government, if you will, not the United States government, not the European governments, God's government in place, and that the peoples will stream to it. And many nations, not just Israel, not just Christians, many nations will come and say, let's go to the mountain of God. Let's go there, because that's where God is. That's where we can find the real truth. And out of this, out of Zion goes forth the law, even from Jerusalem. Remember what David Stein was saying earlier in the program about how important it is that Israel got back that land?
Yes.
This is why, because this confirms that that was an important physical prophecy.
And he will judge among many peoples and render decision for mighty, distant nations. Then they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they train for war. Each of them will sit under his vine and under his fig tree, with no one to make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken.
So when you see this prophecy, Jonathan, you see very plain language, and they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nation will not lift up sword against nation. Now, have we seen that ever?
No.
Ever in the history of mankind?
War goes on.
It goes on and on and on and on and gets worse and worse and worse.
It does.
But this is a prophecy saying that once all of those things are accomplished, there's something even greater. Folks, let's not forget the rest of the prophecies that talk about after the days of tribulation, after the trouble, after the death and destruction. Yeah, those things are coming.
How about the kingdom that Jesus taught us to pray?
And that's what Micah is really talking about. See, the end result here is really simple, I think. The end result is that God never delays. He accomplishes exactly that what he wants to, exactly when he wants to, for the good of all. Folks, as we look at the false prophecy of May 21st, there's a lot of lessons we can learn from it. One of the key lessons is to be encouraging, to be lifting up, and to be looking at the words of God as written without trying to change and without trying to add or subtract from them, but trying to understand them so that we can put them in perspective and see God has a plan for all of mankind that will bring good to every man, woman, and child that ever lived. That, my friends, is a plan of salvation. That is the plan of God. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We'll be back again next week with another subject. But until then, does God's word ever fail? No. Think about it.